Would everybody introduce themselves, please? And let's start with stage right, just on principle. This is my test to see if a band knows what the hell stage right is.
This is Evan. I play bass.
This is Jeff here.
This is Paul Sparry. I sing.
This is Nick.
I'm Scott.
The big test. And are you in a band? Is there a band name? Very important to mention those in interviews.
Free Energy.
One of the things I know that you like to talk about, and I want to start there, forgetting the history, is that, you know, trends come and go, you know, and the latest indie band will come, they'll do what they do. But really, what you're building this band on, and we're going to get to the good and bad of that in a second, but it's things that don't die, right?
I mean, we've partly, I think, analyzed what makes music last and why things in the canon have lasted. And we also analyze like a lot of big records. Well, right now we're looking at a lot of records from like the 80s, where a lot of these guys, old guys from the 60s and 70s, are late into their careers and are making some of the biggest like records of their lives. The other part is like, this band is also like working really, really hard as a live band and touring and doing all the steps that maybe other bands only hit some of the steps here and there, whether it's indie band or a bigger, I don't know, commercial band. Like, we're just building slowly and meticulously and connecting with people everywhere. So it takes longer, but you just have something really strong that will sustain you, whatever you want to do. So I think the music and the live band kind of mirror each other, and that we're always trying to figure out what makes what will make it the strongest, what will make the song the strongest, and what will make the live band the strongest.
Give me a sense, when you have a discussion, what's that discussion go like? When you sit down and say, okay, let's look at, you know, pick any band you want to pick. I don't care which, I'm not going to give you one to pick, but you know which ones you would pick. What exactly do you do when you're doing this as you describe it?
We're listening for what makes a song exciting, you know, regardless of genre or style. There are things that, you know, we'll be listening to. We've all kind of flipped out on some Peter Gabriel recently.
Mostly it's just being psyched about something, and just, you just listen to it naturally and you just absorb it. And occasionally, like when I'm thinking about production, I'll start to notice stuff in just whatever I'm hearing. So we have been listening to like, you know, late period classic rock dudes, and I've been listening to the bass and the drums and just how they operate, and it's what was going on in the 80s. Like, if you're listening to Steve Winwood, it's like everything's tightened up quite a bit.
The song came first, and it took a year to name the band, is what I heard. So I've now told the story you usually tell, right? That's what you usually ask. I want you all to tell me as many names as you can come up with that failed. Because a year to name the band,
Dude Brothers for...
The Dude Brothers.
We were Dude Brothers right up until the last minute. And the record company, our friends.
They wouldn't go for the Dude Brothers?
Nobody could work with that name.
How do you feel it's going so far in terms of... You're a new band in a new world.
It feels pretty good.
Yeah, it feels pretty awesome, actually. I feel like we kind of have been under the radar through a lot of different like trends and waves in the sea of whatever the music industry is, and I feel like this is a perfect time for us. Well, I mean, it just is our time. We don't get to choose, but for some reason it makes sense right now that we kind of have popped up now. I mean, you still can sell records now. Like, it's just people who love your music are gonna buy them. Not people who've been ripped off and convinced by hype that you're good and you're not. Like, it's just more of a, it's more of like an honest time when,
when I say can't sell records, we all know that there are still a dozen artists that are still getting gold records. So this DFA thing was not an immediate score, was it? It wasn't like, you know, because everybody just kind of assumes, oh, well, they're on DFA. But so tell me a little bit about what it took to get there.
Our old band had sent the last record that we made. We made it on our own and had sent it to everyone. And they and the label that actually put out the record were the only people who got back to us. And so that was maybe 5 years ago. And
5 years. 5 years in the making.
Yeah, so we've just been in touch, and we...
That's a little frustrating, isn't it?
Well, we put out another record with another label, and
that was fine.
And then we just kept sending demos, and we'd, you know, occasionally be in touch, and then
how did it suddenly happen? What was the moment?
There really has never been a sudden thing or a moment. It's been a very slow process. Scott and I signed to DFA. They signed us based on our demos. We didn't have a band. We didn't have a name. They just trusted that it would work out, which is crazy. I mean,
that's
credit to John Galkin, who runs it, as an A&R guy and having vision to know how it would work. And then about a year later, after Scott and I kept demoing, James Murphy finally kind of got it and saw how he could, you know, he shared a vision with us.
Obviously, you had... I don't know how to say it. You had the schematic. You had the stuff you wanted to do, but you had the songs. But you've been quoted as saying you hold him responsible for giving you the, quote, right sounds. Now, that's what the quote is, but I'd like to hear a little bit more about that, because that's what I read the same quote everywhere.
Well, we've been recording our own music like our entire lives. We've had four tracks and computers. I mean, we can... make music. We made the last Hockey Night record on our own in a studio and produced it ourselves. I mean, we want to collaborate with people now who have more experience than us, and who
everything we do, I think, just ends up sounding kind of mushy. And so,
yeah, a lot of times.
Yeah, like the idea is good, but we just can't like carry through technically what we.
But that's kind of smart, because you know there are a very, very limited amount of bands that can be producers. Do you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, as artists, and again,
you
having
probably
just
probably shouldn't. If you're coming up with raw ideas and spewing it out, it's good to have someone there with another perspective that can like push you and help you edit and hone. Yeah,
yeah. We had ambitions to change songs around, and he was like, it doesn't matter, just what you have is good, and like, let's just use that as
well. That's positive.
That's great.
That's a good producer experience, because you really appreciate what he's doing, and it wasn't a battle.
Yes,
which is good.
No, yeah, he like restricted us in that way, and that was good. That was actually a good use of time.
So the video for Bang Pop, I couldn't decide whether it was Welcome Back, Cotter, Breakfast Club, Ridgemont High.
It's everything.
It's like, it really, it's kind of like you took every one of those friggin' movies, every one of them, put them in a blender, put it on Frappe, and went, and you watch it, and it just gets more and more and more ridiculous and fun.
I wrote a script and developed it with Scott, and our friend produced it and brought on a director that he works with. So it was all us. We were given a list of hotshot directors from
and
the
you
label,
said,
but
see ya.
Yeah, well, I mean, we want to work. We'd ideally work with someone else, but just we're not there yet. Where people,
yeah, people didn't have. Oh, sorry, people didn't have specific ideas that were at all related to our song. They were just like kind of ideas that
they weren't. Yeah, they weren't bad treatments. They were good and probably appropriate for somebody.
But who, when you talk about the demo for this band, as they say in research, right? And you're out there being paired with, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be painful, but you're out there being, you know, paired with Motion City Soundtrack and Mates of State, and there you are, right? And I don't mean that in any insulting way, because both of those bands have been played on this radio show, as well as you. Because again, my stew is based on a whole different premise that the songs have to be good. But do you think about? I mean, forgetting the frustration of walking out to an audience that's about to hear, you know, they're, oh, indie rock, oh, Free Energy, wonder what that is.
Well,
go ahead. I'm causing trouble here.
No, you're not. No, it makes sense. But the thing is, like,
I love doing this.
All these, you know, playing with these bands right now allows us to connect with people who might not have heard the music. Also, a lot of their fans are really cool people who are open to new music. So a lot of them check out, they see who's opening on this tour and they check out the music. I mean, so many people come up to us at the merch table and tell us they listened to us before they came and they liked it. And then they buy stuff.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it
is like a dirty thing or
no, it's not. Okay. Sorry. Right. But if you want, you know what? You can make it one. You can do it. You can make it whatever you want. It's two of your songs is the bread and songs by other artists in between.